Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to worship at College Park. It's great to see you this morning. A few announcements we'll make as we get started. We would like to find out who is in worship today. The way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you could take this pew pad, give us your contact information, check the appropriate boxes, and send it back down so everybody has a chance to fill that out on your pew. We do ask that last person, when it comes to you, if once you're done, if you could send it back to where it got started. We do ask that first person, when it comes to you, if you would tear out the pages that were used today. Our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for doing that and helping us with that information. A few announcements we'll make from the bulletin. Most of these are listed under upcoming events and opportunities for the week, but I'll highlight a couple of them. Children's time is today. Inviting the kids to come down front after the first hymn. Also, grief support today at 3 o'clock here in the conference room. Is that right? In the conference room. Normal schedule this afternoon and all this week, as all the spring breaks are now behind us. We have a few weeks before summer, so it's a crazy time. Many people, lots to do, but we're looking forward to the next several weeks. Also, this Thursday, there's a special event, an informal time of prayer at 10 o'clock in the coffee house room, which is in the education building, the lower floor. Carolyn Matthews and Krista are working with that event. So if you have any questions about that, it's just a time for people to come together and to pray for church and family and friends. That is this Thursday at 11 a.m. Let's see, Michael. Where's Michael at? Come on down. Other things are listed there in your bulletin. Just want you to make note of that. And Michael's coming to make an announcement from our RAs and GAs.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I think some of you've seen in your bulletin, we've got a flyer in it that the RAs are having a cookout. What we're wanting to do, the boys came up with an idea that they wanted to cook a fully intact Boston butt. We're gonna hand out the butt. This isn't a meal, it's not a plate thing. It will be the whole Boston butt fully cooked, ready to serve at home on April the 27th. The reason for the fundraiser, the guys all wanna tell the church, show the church that they're interested and they're committed in what they've seen out here with the gym. They want to do their part to help raise the money to do a little part of the gym, pay for a little part of the gym. They want to finance the scoreboard themselves to show all of you how much they appreciate the support that you've given them in providing them with the gym and that kind of a place to have their sports, have their indoor activities, and just have the fellowship. They really appreciate everything the church has done for them. And this is their way of wanting to give back just a little bit. The bottom line on it, it's April 27th. We're going to be handing out the intact full Boston butt. On the 21st, which is two Sundays from now, that'll be our cutoff time. We need to pre-order all the Boston butts. It's a pretty big expense to put everything together, so we're going to need the orders ahead of time. So if you could find one of the RAs, find one of the GAs, any of the RA or GA leaders. And if you don't know who we are, talk to anybody up here. They all know who we are, and they'll point you in the right direction. We appreciate all your support. Another one of the efforts is the can trailer. I don't know if you guys have noticed the can trailer out here has been full. We got that emptied, and we're still filling that up. So that's been another great benefit to the church. So if we can continue to bring in the aluminum cans, and if anybody who wants one could sign up for a Boston butt, we would greatly appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Okay, I think that's all the announcements we have. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We are certainly thankful for your presence and worship today. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. You've already given us your information. If you're a guest this morning on that pew pad, we'd like to give something to you. Just raise your hand right where you are. If you are a guest, our ushers will recognize you and they will give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church and a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you for being a part of worship this day. Was it cold this week? Anybody? Did it snow? I leave for 1 week and it snows. And, well, my family had an opportunity to, the entire side, my side of the family, there was about 14 of us, including 7 boys under the age of 11. Yes, it really wasn't vacation. It was like I was doing children's time the entire week. But 3 of the boys came down with strep throat, and so we're just hoping that it doesn't come to our house. But it was a good time together, and I thought about, there was a lot of energy in the house. We had rented one house. There was lots and lots of energy. Similar to the energy that we had at Easter. And I think I thought about the passion that the boys play with, whether it's baseball or whether it's cars or whether it's watching TV. There was a great passion, love for life. And I wonder, we do that on Easter. Shouldn't we do that every day? Shouldn't we, even in our darkest moments, have a passion for life because God has not left us? This week I was reminded that God has not left us. He sent his Son, who was resurrected from the grave, so that we could live each day, not just Easter Sunday, but each day, the resurrected life. A life of passion. This is why we come to worship. Are you ready to worship? Let us prepare. Pray with me. Our Father, you are worthy of worship every moment of every day. You are worthy of our lives, of our choices, you are worthy, of our words, you are worthy, of our attitudes and our actions. All should be done in the light of what Jesus did on the cross and in the empty grave. You are worthy of worship and praise. And so we come this morning, a week after celebrating Easter, to show you with our lives that we worship you with everything that we have, all that we are. We invite you into this place to be in worship, we pray, in Jesus' name. Okay, I need to invite all the kids. Come on down. I need you right here. Crisscross applesauce looking this way. Here we go. Crisscross applesauce. Yeah. Mary, he has your keys. Just in case you didn't see that, he found your keys. In case y'all didn't notice, translate what that was. Okay. All right. It's good to see everybody this week. Everybody doing well? Kind of.
Yes.
Kind of. Some of you are off school this week.
Yeah.
Right? So, okay. We're going back tomorrow. But before we go, I need a volunteer. Who can volunteer? All right, Caleb, come here. All right, now look. Caleb, you have to do whatever I ask you to do, okay? Can you handle that?
Yes.
We'll see. All right. Okay. Now, you have to stay beside me. I'm going to show you the best thing ever. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? I don't think you're ready. All right, this is like the coolest thing ever. Are you ready?
Yeah!
All right, Caleb, your job is to make this in that. All right? Can you handle that? Can you handle that? You don't sound really excited. Yes.
Yes.
Like a, ooh, yeah. Can you do that? We got to work. All right, here we go. All right, and now we're going to come over here. All right, and I'm going to do that. Boom! Oh yeah. All right, good job. All right, give me that. Did you see what he just did? I mean, come on. But all right, give it back to me. All right, go back over there. I don't think they're listening. Go back over there. All right, are you listening? Are you listening? Here we go. You're going to miss it. Here we go. You ready? Boom! Did you see that? Oh, my goodness. All right. Good job. Give it back to me again. All right. Are you listening? You're going to listen. Here we go. Here's what happens. Boom. Oh, did you see that? Oh, he was so good. Oh, my goodness. Oh, very good. All right. Come sit back down. Now, I have a question. Did you see what we just did? I know we can go to Atlanta and win March Madness, just me and Caleb by ourselves. Don't you think?
Yeah.
No.
No?
Why not? You need Well, I want to hear Abby's response to the question. Why can't Caleb and I mean, you saw what we just did. Did he miss one? He didn't miss one. It smelled pretty bad, but it's a trash can. But I passed the ball, and he had a big goal and a little basketball. I mean, he couldn't miss. Christian? Louisville University. So, I can beat them. I'm good, right? Or was that no big deal? Is that what you're telling me? That was no big deal? That was easy? Why? Not like that? Well, let me ask this question. Excuse me is a good phrase to use right now. All right, let me ask this question. So this wasn't that big a deal. Is that what you're telling me? You need. Here's what I think. That was pretty easy what we just did. We can't do. Here's the thing Pastor Raymond's going to talk about in a little while. You know what? You and I can't do anything without the Holy Spirit. This was simple. This was easy. Could Caleb have made those baskets with a... Did I bounce past him?
Yeah.
Did I get the ball to him? Was I helping him?
Yeah.
You know what? You were on the same team. Caleb needed my help, and I needed Caleb's help. You and I, we have to have the Holy Spirit. Last week we talked about Jesus came back and he was raised from the dead and the empty tomb, and he said, I'm going to send you a helper. Who's the helper? The Holy Spirit. He comes and he helps us. Even simple things like shooting a small goal basketball in a big trash can, even simple things like that, we need help with. We need help with. Just like Pastor Raymond is going to talk about, Jesus gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit to help us when we need help. Okay? Let's pray together. God, we love you and we thank you so much for the helper, even in simple things like playing basketball, but also things like knowing how to treat our moms and our dads and our friends. Father, you sent the Holy Spirit to be our helper. This is not something we can do by ourselves. We need your help, and you sent us the Holy Spirit to be that help. Help us to trust your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, every day. In Jesus' name, amen. You can go back to your seats. Walk, walk. Not right now. Not right now.
Hey, Mary, you think we could reach it from here if you let us try? Oh. I would certainly need the Holy Spirit to help me. How delightful. I'm going to be sharing with you from John 14, 23 through 31 today. And then Mary's mentioned to go ahead and slip a prayer in there. So we'll pray after that. Okay? Let's read what John has for us. Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I'll not say much more to you, for the Prince of the world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave." Would you join me in prayer together? Oh, gracious God, how wonderful it is to be on this side of Easter, to be an Easter people, walking in your light and in the strength of your promises and presence inside of us. It would have been marvelous to have walked with you upon earth and followed you as a disciple while you were here. But oh, how glorious it is, as we have sung earlier, to have you inside of us so that we can experience firsthand in our spirit your forgiveness, your grace, your new beginning, your wisdom, your strength, and your peace that passes all understanding. Thank you for the peace that is ours through Christ, that no matter what we experience, we have you with us inside, gently whispering to us guidance, gently telling us which way to go, and supplying all that we need for every situation. Thank you for the gift of your sweet Spirit that is also very strong. We thank you so much and celebrate that today. In Jesus' name, amen.
The hymn, "He Lives," was inspired by two things, a question and a terrible sermon. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? Alfred Ackley was born in Pennsylvania in 1887. He was raised by a musician father who trained him and then sent him off to London to the Royal Academy of Music. He came back home and attended seminary, and he was ordained as a Presbyterian minister. Well, he pastored in Pennsylvania for many years and then was moved out to California, While he was in California, he began to minister to a Jewish man and began witnessing to him, but the man resisted. And the question that he asked him is, why should I worship a dead Jew? Well, that kind of stuck in his head for a while. And he was preparing for Easter, and he was preparing his sermon, and this question stuck with him. He got up early Easter morning, and as he was preparing his sermon and getting ready to go, he heard a sermon on the radio by a well-known minister in town. And as the well-known minister got into the pulpit, he said, "Good morning, it's Easter. You know, folks, it really doesn't make any difference if Jesus is risen or not." He said, "As far as I'm concerned, his body could be as dust in some Palestinian tomb. The main thing is his truth goes marching on." Well, Mr. Ackley was quite upset and yelled at the radio, "It's a lie." And his wife kind of not quite sure what that was all about. And he goes on that day, and he went to preach two very vigorous Easter sermons on how Christ had risen and how he knew that Christ had risen. But he came home, and between the question and the sermon that he had heard, he was still troubled. And finally, his wife looked at him and said, "It's time you do what you do best. Why don't you write a song about it?" And he sat down and within minutes had penned the words to the hymn that we are getting ready to sing, "He Lives." I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he's living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he is always near. If you would, join me in singing.
Time. Bow with your heads and go to the Lord with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, last week we celebrated your Son rising from the grave. This week we ask that you provide us with the wisdom and strength and boldness to go out in this world that distracts us so often from your word and the way we should live our lives. Heavenly Father, we want to also give thanks for all the blessings that you've bestowed upon us. We are truly wealthy individuals knowing your love. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. See you back where you belong. Yeah. Thank you, choir. The love of God, for God so loved that he sent his son, and we celebrated his resurrection last week. And it's been an interesting week this week with the children out of school, not having Wednesday night. I kind of missed that. Well, we had Wednesday night, just not here, okay? We didn't skip over Wednesday night. But we missed family night, and we'll get back into regular schedule this week. That's a good time of fellowship, and we kind of missed that this week. But the story of redemption, the message of Easter rings true for us. The story of redemption, God's redeeming work in the world, it doesn't end when Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John run out of text, okay? And when they run out of their stories, this God's redeeming work does not end there. It doesn't end when the pages of Scripture run out. God's story continues in our own stories, in our lives, in which as followers of Jesus, we live out the Easter message every day. We overcome pain. We overcome suffering. And as we found out last week, we can overcome death because Jesus said, because I live, you also shall live. It is a story of life. And our culture is full of stories kind of reflecting all of these kind of themes. In the last 50 or 60 years or so, popular stories such as the Chronicles of Narnia, The Lord of the Rings, and some would even say Star Wars, have shown unlikely heroes making great personal sacrifice, even laying down their lives to overcome incredible odds and defeat the forces of evil. And I've often wondered why these trilogies, these fantasy trilogies as they call them, why is it they're so popular? And as I was studying this week, I think I figured it out. I think it's because we as human beings, we want to believe, we have to believe that there is a creator God who gives this life some sort of purpose. You know, the idea that there's a higher love, there is a higher love, the love of God, as the choir saying, it calls us to put aside our selfish desires for the sake of others. Sounds kind of scriptural, doesn't it? No greater love than a man hath that he, yeah. Put aside our own selfish desires for the sake of someone else. In our reading today, Jesus is going to help the disciples. He's going to help us figure out how we're going to live and by whose power we're going to live. Jeff kind of gave you a preview, so if you were paying attention, you kind of know where the story is going, okay? John chapter 20. We're going to kind of pick up with the story as we left it last week. John chapter 20, as you remember, kind of at the end of that whole deal, Mary and the disciples, they were sent back to kind of prepare the rest of the disciples for Jesus coming. Remember that? He was going to appear to all of them. Well, that's where we pick up here in verse 19. John chapter 20, verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and he stood among them and he said, "Peace be with you." And after he'd said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." It's really interesting to me what's going on in this passage of Scripture. There is a lot here. There's a lot going on. Probably preach a week's worth of sermons on it. But in addition to appearing to the disciples in person, in the flesh, appearing to them, one of the first things he does, peace. He calmed their fears. It had been a tough week. It had been a traumatic week. The first thing he does, he calms their fears. Another thing, interestingly enough, that he does by his actions here, he reassures them about the future glory of this thing that began with him and them. You know, he will become known as Christianity, but at that point it's a Messiah movement among a few people, relatively speaking. And another thing that he's doing is he's demonstrating his faithfulness and that he is the same Messiah that they walked and talked with. And he says they were overjoyed, no doubt. They were overjoyed, they were delighted to see him. I have to quote a friend of mine, a friend and major professor, Charles Talbert, which I used to be at Wake Forest. He's now in Texas. And from his book, Reading John, there's really some neat stuff. And I want to share that with you this morning, but it's going to take a little bit of imagination. You're going to have to return to your classroom days, okay? From his book, he says, taking the appearance story right here as a whole, its function seems to be to show how its events fulfill previous promises that Jesus had made back in chapters 14 through 17. So now if you imagine it, here's chart A, okay, and here's chart B. On chart A, point one, it's going to have chapter 14, verse 18, and chapter 16, verse 22 of John. And it's going to say there, I am coming back to you. That's what Jesus told the disciples. He said, I am coming back to you. And then on this side of the chart, on B, you will see the fulfillment of that. In verse 19, it says, Jesus came to them. You understand where we're going here? It's promises and fulfillment of promises. The second point on this side will say, peace I leave with you. Krista read that earlier. Peace I leave with you. This side of the chart, in verse 21, Jesus says, help me. Peace be with you. Okay? Point three. Then your hearts will rejoice. That's in chapter 16, verse 23. Your hearts will rejoice when I... And then in this side, in verse 20, it says they rejoiced. They were glad. They were exuberant. They were excited to see Jesus. Promise fulfillment. Number four, as you have seen me, I have sent them. That's in chapter 17, verse 18. As you have sent me, I have sent them. That's what Jesus is saying to the Father. As you have sent me, I have sent them. And then on this side of the chart, verse 21, as the Father has sent me, even so I send you. Promise fulfillment. Promise fulfillment. Number five and the last one. He said in chapter 16, verse 7, he said, if I go, I will send the Spirit to you. Verse 22, receive the Holy Spirit. I think the takeaway from this little lesson from the classroom is that Jesus can be trusted to keep his promises. What he says, he will do. What he taught them, what he teaches us is trustworthy. It's true. It is truth. And the giving of the Holy Spirit needs to be read, I believe, in this context, that Jesus is placing a mission before us. Now, I know ultimately with this passage, there's questions that arise. And people say, well, Raymond, is this where he gave the Holy Spirit, or is it in Acts chapter 2? At Pentecost, is that when they received the Holy Spirit? Or in this particular case, did he just give the Holy Spirit to the disciples, and at Pentecost, he gave it to all believers? And then there's the nuances of the Greek language, when it says, well, did he breathe on them, or did he breathe in them? And that's all healthy discussion for theologians to sit down and talk about, that's good for them. But I think to get wrapped up in that kind of thing, and there is logic involved in working through all that. But the main point, I think, for us in this particular passage is that Jesus lived, and he modeled for us how we should live. And if we want to live like that, we need the power of the Holy Spirit to do it. Amen? If we want to live out a life that looks like or even vaguely resembles how Jesus lived, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus knew that. And he taught that the Spirit would be given so that we could be one. That was the purpose. That's why he said he would send the Spirit, so that we would be one. He didn't say so you can look good, so you can do amazing things and startle your friends. No, it's so that we can be one as the body of Christ, to give us unity in our purpose. That's why the Spirit was sent. And according to chapter 15 of John, verses 1 through 17, he clearly taught that the disciples are to bear fruit, that is, to love one another. God sent his love to us so that we would love one another. I'm going to go back to Dr. Talbert. Quote, in the larger context, this must mean loving one another. This must mean at part at least to forgive one another. The train of thought from chapter 13 on has been focused on the disciples loving one another, forgiving one another, being one. This is possible because the glory, Spirit, given to Jesus will be given to them. And it's in this context that this passage should be read. If disciples forgive the other disciples' sins against them, the sins are removed as an obstacle to community oneness. If they continue to hold on to the sins against them, the sins remain an obstacle to community harmony. To enable correct behavior, as well as to empower their mission, the Holy Spirit is given to the disciples. Read in this way, verse 23 fits in this overall pattern of Jesus' promise and fulfillment. He said he will give the Spirit in order that they may be one, which is accomplished by their forgiving one another their transgressions. So the ones whose sins are forgiven are fellow Christians. The sins forgiven are the post-baptismal transgressions of disciples against other Christians. The problem addressed is that of Christians holding on to the sins done against them instead of releasing them and others who did them or committed those sins, end quote. And as I read that, I thought, and if anyone ever had reason to hold a grudge against a group of people, Jesus did. If you talk about a good reason, he had one. He even had a good reason against this very group that he was addressing right here. You remember what they had done? And the elephant in the room surely was this. Okay, if I can forgive you in order to restore our community, you have no excuse for not forgiving one another. But lest you say, I just can't do that in my own human power, I'm giving you the Holy Spirit to enable you to do just that, to forgive. No more excuses. Receive the Holy power of receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Get over yourselves and your petty differences and get on with the kingdom work. There's a lot of work to be done, gang. That's a loose paraphrase of what maybe Jesus said. That's why we're here. That's what we are to be about. Now, after journeying through the way that we've been journeying this Lenten season, as we learned all of these things, the story of Jesus, how he touched people, how he restored them to community, and then as we look at our passage today, I believe there's questions put out there for us that I think we really need to answer. You know, how do these themes resonate in our lives? Let me give you five questions, and I'm going to give you just a moment after I ask the question to answer it in your own mind. Let it kind of resonate a little bit. How do we experience Jesus standing in our shoes? How do we experiencing him walking and talking among humanity? Second, how do we follow Jesus in actively loving those who are poor, sick, oppressed, and shut out by the powers of this world and by our own actions as a community? How do we follow Jesus and actively loving those who are unlovable by world standards? Thirdly, what sacrifices are we willing to make for the benefit of others, to show the love of Christ? Fourth, how does God empower us to overcome sin, evil, and death in our own lives? And fifth, what does it mean for us to be people who live in the light of the resurrection? What does that look like in your life? What does it mean? What does it look like to be Easter people? How we personally and how we as a congregation answer those kind of questions will determine to what extent we feel the presence of Jesus with us every step along our story, along the way that God has prepared for us. Don't miss the opportunity to see God at work in your life. That sounds like an overstatement of the obvious. But don't miss the opportunity. Don't miss those little biddings that the Holy Spirit sends your way. And in order to do that, in order to catch those, you have to be attuned to what God is saying to you. Through His Spirit, empowered by His Spirit, lived out in His Spirit. It's going to require some help, isn't it? That's why He sent the Holy Spirit. Let's pray and ask for His help. Gracious Father, as we live out a life that Jesus modeled for us, that He clearly demonstrated what we're to be about, we're going to need help. And we know that's exactly why You sent the Holy Spirit, to empower us in that way, individually and as a one body, as the body of faith, as the hands and feet of Christ. So Father, we pray that we would be receiving the Holy Spirit, that we would be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and that we would be obedient. God, we know it's there. We know the power is there. We just pray that we would be obedient, faithful. God, in order to hear and to recognize, we know we need to spend time with You. We ask that You would constantly remind us of that, that You would place in our heart a yearning, a desire to read Your word, to talk with You, to listen what You have to say. And as we do so, we'll grow in our understanding, our knowledge, our wisdom of who You are and what You've created us to be. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. A relationship with Jesus Christ begins with the understanding that He is God and we're not. And that sounds, again, like an overstatement of the obvious, but until we come to the point where we recognize how much God loves us and how He provided a way to have a personal relationship with us, I mean, that's step number one. And if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, if you do not know Him as your Lord and Savior, I would love to talk with you about that today. We're going to stand and sing in just a minute, and I'll be here at the front. I'll be glad to talk with you here or this week if you want to call me. I'll be glad to meet you somewhere and talk about it. It's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. If you're here and you are a believer, but you say, Raymond, I haven't been living by the power of the Spirit. I really need to get back on track. You can certainly talk with God where you are and settle that with Him. I'll be glad to help you if I can. If you're here and you say, I'd like to be part of this body as a member, an official church member, there are many ways we receive members. I'll be glad to talk with you about that. But let me challenge you, before you leave here today, do business with God. Open your heart to Him. Let Him show you those parts that we have taken back away from Him and have not given Him control over. Surrender all of those things, parts of who you are, back to Him. Let's stand and sing together now. Following the benediction and our choral response, I invite you to greet one another. Be sure and greet our guests. Encourage one another as we go from this place. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for the gift of life eternal through Jesus Christ. And we thank you for a life that we can live that gives glory to you through the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, now as we go from this place, guide us, protect us. Father, strengthen us for the journey that you've placed before us. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.